Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Welcome, 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 Newsbusters listeners. You are listening to the Newsbusters podcast. We are back, as we predicted. We weren't sure who was going to be in the chairs, but Curtis Auk, your managing editor, and my partner in crime,
Nick Nitrain Fondacaro,
my deputy, is here for yet another episode. Nick, how was your Christmas?
It was very good. I got an interesting gift from my mom of a 3D printer, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yes, we'll see if the feds come busting down Nick's door in a little bit.
Haven't
here.
Haven't made anything yet.
So we have a lot to talk about. Usually things die down with the newscasts, and to some extent they have, talking about canceled flights. Not that they're not big stories, but for us, those of us in the political realm, it's a lot of year in review stuff, and we'll see more of that as the week goes along. But we had some stories over the weekend that we want to get to, so this will be a little bit of an abbreviated show, but we'll dive right in here. So the first thing I want to talk about, and we'll go to Nick here with one of his stories from yesterday, which is, you know, every once in a blue moon you see something where a journalist really hits on it. The reporter might be a conservative, a closet conservative or a moderate, a real journalist, someone who's not really beholden to a political party, or a liberal being a blind squirrel finding a nut. I would guess it's maybe the latter because she's always been kind of fair. I would say Jan Crawford's been a pretty fair reporter, Nick, right? She's not she's not someone to give us screaming NQs all the time.
Exactly. Like when I sort of tend to keep a short list of like when I have like my non-political friends or my political friends on the right who they come to me and they ask, who do you go to? Who do you trust? And on the individual journalist base, Jan Crawford is one of the people that I know.
Yeah, we Nick and I both in particular would have people that we would recommend. Not to say that people aren't capable of being biased or that they've never mm-hmm. been mentioned in an NQ package, but people that you may disagree with their take on a story, but you're thinking this person is not a scumbag, mm-hmm. long and short of it. So anyway, so Jan Crawford was on Face the Nation yesterday on Sunday with Margaret Brennan, and she does this really cool thing. I think it was done last year, and I'm not sure if her predecessors may have done this, but I think it's fun. Have all of the major beat reporters, White House, Congress, Pentagon, to talk about the major stories of the year. And one of the things she has them do is underreported story of 2021. It's a little bit of an oxymoron. We're just kind of ironic to ask reporters, what is a story that's underreported by the media, even though they are the media and they could have devoted resources to it, but I digress. But it nonetheless was interesting when Jan Crawford gave an interesting answer. I'm not going to give any more or preview. Let's just play it right now. You'll love it.
It's the crushing impact that our COVID policies have had on young kids and children. Mm-hmm. By far, you know, the least serious risk for serious illness. But I mean, even teenagers, you know, a healthy teenager has a 1 in a million chance of getting and dying from COVID, which is way lower than, you know, dying in a car wreck on a road trip. But they have suffered and sacrificed the most, especially kids in underrepresented at-risk communities. And now we have the Surgeon General saying there's a mental health crisis mm-hmm. among our kids. The risk of suicide attempts among girls now up 51% this year. Black kids nearly twice as likely as white kids to die by suicide. I mean, school closures, lockdowns, cancellation of sports. You couldn't even go on a playground in the D.C. area without cops scurrying, shooing the kids off. Tremendous negative impact on kids, and it's been an afterthought. Yeah. You know, it's hurt their dreams, their future, learning loss, risk of abuse, their mental health. And now with our knowledge, our vaccines, if our policies don't reflect a more measured and reasonable approach for our children, mm-hmm. they will be paying for our generation's decisions the rest of their lives.
Well, well, well.
I feel like we talked about this a couple podcasts ago.
Oh my gosh. It feels like Nick and I have been talking about this for years now, and I'm sure many of you have as well with your family or those of you that have Facebook and Twitter pages on Getter, you know, everywhere else. I feel like this is something that we've talked about. So in case you didn't see that clip or heard it before this, it's gone viral. Thousands and thousands of views, mostly from the Face the Nation Twitter page. It was spread yesterday because they isolated each reporter's pick for Undercovered Story. And, you know, it went crazy. But then I was working on it for a story that I have up at Newsbusters right now. And I realized, wait a second. I go into our Snapstream program to get the clip, to clip it, to make our own video. And I don't see yet. Click, click, click through in case the closed captioning didn't catch it. Nothing. Turns out CBS did not include it at all in their show. The first half hour of the show, thereabout, was the Kamala Harris interview with Margaret Brennan. Second half was the reporters. Sure enough, there's a show transcript. I double-checked that. That wasn't there either. But then I saw that there's a reporters roundtable transcript, and sure enough, that's where it was. So they posted on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube what Jan Crawford had to say. On YouTube, it's the full 40-minute discussion. And I did some quick math, and we got about 21 and a half minutes out of it, minus taking out commercials. So they chose to axe it, and I think that's really interesting, especially just to axe the entire segment. We'd be interested to hear what the other reporters thought were underreported stories, even if they were topics from the left. I think it's always interesting for journalists to see what should we be doing more of. And sometimes that's a question we ask ourselves at Newsbusters, and hopefully all newsrooms ask, because I think it's really good to see what are we missing here. You even do that with stories you do cover. What angle are we missing? Are we missing a side to this story, especially if you're a mainstream newscast or an establishment, traditional straight news site? You should be asking those questions daily. So that's one story that's really interesting, and we'll see how that develops. We understand things get cut, but of the things to cut, a view that's held by a lot of Americans, and the scourge, especially going into the scourge of mental health, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, at the other end of the spectrum, you know, someone who is a squirrel but does not find a nut because he is the nut is Brian Stelter. And Nick, you wrote about this yesterday.
Yes. We had a very, at the end of his show, it was the final reliable sources of 2021. And him and a podcaster who's, I'm just going to refer to her by her first name, Mara. Her last name, I will.
Chiavo Campo.
Exactly. I didn't want to butcher it. So they had her on, and they wanted to talk about media misconceptions, the misconceptions that people have about, like, when people are breaking news. And the first sort of thing that she wanted to address was, like, the biggest quote unquote misconception is that they lie. And apparently, the biggest problem. She gets this a lot, apparently, and she tries to chalk up most of it to mistakes, what Stelter would call, quote, innocent mistakes. And he sort of also equated it to, like, what people were complaining about were typos in their reporting.
This is the same guy, Nick, who complained when Trump had misspellings in his tweets.
Exactly.
He had the saying, if he can't get the small stuff right, how are we supposed to trust them on the big stuff?
But and they get to the political bias, but we have to sort of look at this, like, look at the Trump years when all their mistakes that they were making were going in one direction against them. They didn't have any sort of reports like, their mistake report that he donated a bunch of money to charity. No, it was like he improperly fed koi fish when he was visiting Japan.
Right, that one. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, when I was looking up, like, mistakes that the media made, I was like, oh my God, this one was absolutely amazing. You had them claiming he was going to start a nuclear war with Iran. That's like a big one. And then another one that isn't Trump related, but earlier this year, Newsbusters here caught the story and broke the story that NBC had deceptively edited the 911 audio in the Michaela Bryant police-involved shooting, right? NBC is one of the three networks are, like, the most anti-cop. They're the ones that have been really pushing, like, defund the police and all of this. And somehow, this isn't a mistake. We've caught them deceptively editing video. Trayvon Martin.
Brian Williams, hello.
Exactly. And then on the political bias front, so on the political bias front, here's actually them sort of complaining about how the media isn't actually, but like they're biased, but they're aware of their biases and they try to counteract it. Oh. So let's listen to that real fast.
People will say this group is all liberal, or they say the media is too conservative, too right-wing. Here's kind of the beauty of the space that we're in today, is that we really know the political biases of most of the outlets that we're looking at, and we know the ones that are straight down the middle. So, for example, the public knows that Fox is right-leaning, and they know, for example, that Joanne Reed at MSNBC is a proud progressive, and they also know the outlets that consider themselves to be in the middle. What's really ironic about that is that journalists are aware of our own political bias. We're not robots. And so often we'll overcompensate when we know we're covering something where we might have a little bit of skin in the game, a little bit of emotional attachment. We'll overcompensate to make sure the other side really gets a fair amount of coverage and really gets explained properly. So in my view, when we do have a political bias, it's the other view that actually benefits from that because we're trying to counter our own human impulses.
Right. That's very interesting.
So the public benefit from them being biased?
Yeah, like they overcompensate in the other direction. But right. Meanwhile, sure. Here at Newsbusters, we have literally countless of studies showing how Republican issues get maligned or ignored while they are playing up the Democratic side and using all the Democratic quotes or ignoring Republican comments. And if they wanted to like fix mistakes and not show like and actually sort of counter their own bias, we literally had a study at the end of the Jussie Smollett trial where ABC went 665 days without mentioning Jussie Smollett until after the trial had happened, like after the verdict came down.
No, we're not going to do that.
And you also see none of these networks admitting that the Steele dossier that they were using, the P tape. And all this other stuff was completely bunk.
Well, and I should just go back even further. Dan Rather, the case of Dan Rather at CBS News. You mean to tell me that it was an honest mistake, Maria Schiavacompo? Like, really, really? That CBS was just, they just got everything tied up and they didn't cross their T's and dot their I's when they published that story about George W. Bush? Come on.
Exactly. And she claims that there is, like, on the mistake front, she claims there was no, quote, malicious intent when they make mistakes.
Oh, please.
That's
stop.
The Dan Rather thing is obviously, who's actually been a repeat guest on Reliable Sources.
Right, exactly. And that's the way that these people think of the media. They think that every time that they make a mistake, they always correct themselves because we're human beings too. No, we understand that. We understand that people make mistakes. Heck, we make typos. Heck, we probably have made a bunch of mistakes just in this podcast talking between the two of us because we get so fired up. But like the idea that, you know, journalists are largely perfect human beings is absurd.
And looking at CNN just in general, like Cuomo got fired. Like he got that decision, like you had the executives at Discovery drag Zucker kicking and screaming to fire Chris.
Right. Well, we that was your inference because when they met the same day that Cuomo was suspended and it was bada bing, bada boom.
Exactly. So
but
like they had
it
to
was a get to know you session is it's been reported.
Yeah. Or is intended to be.
Oh, yes.
And speaking of
Real quick before, I just want to do a plug real quick. R. Jeff Dickens, who's been away for Christmas, he's been working on publishing from home the latest worst of 2021. So I just wanted to flag for all of you today. We have the craziest analysis award. And speaking of reliable sources, mm-hmm. I just because it's a good segue real quick.
Yep.
Our winner for that category was from April 25th when David Zerwick, who used to be a pretty sensible guy, you would say, Nick.
Yeah,
son.
Yeah, he's actually early on in the Trump years, he's actually countered Stelter and been like, dude, you got to calm down.
Right. No,
it's like Obama tried to arrest people and Trump just says mean things. But the guy is literally gone off the deep end.
Right. He's really lost his mind. His brain has been broken. So he decided to say that Trump is a danger to democracy. He talks about them being complete tool propaganda, and I won't play the clip. But,
Fox News, yeah.
Or Fox News, yeah. We have to keep pounding away at it to get rid of Fox News. We have to call them out when they do this because we see how incredibly destructive this is to democracy. There's no doubt Rupert Murdoch and Fox News are a danger to democracy, and they should be treated that way. Okay, so when we're talking about enemy of the people, danger to democracy, what are we supposed to do? Treat Fox News and its employees like enemy combatants? You tell me, David Zurawiec. The rhetoric here is quite dangerous. But going back to Nick here, we have more CNN fun from the weekend.
So this was like sort of a birthday gift for me because this happened on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And speaking of like the mistakes that the media make and don't retract, you had Boris Sanchez complaining or going after Candace Owens in her Daily Wire interview with President Trump. And what he, besides what she says about vaccines, what he really took offense to was that she had said that that Biden has more COVID deaths than President Trump. And he took great offense to that.
Point of fact, that statement she made about people dying under Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, those numbers are completely wrong. So that's fake news right there.
Well, one, she did not present numbers. And two, the only group that's responsible or the only person responsible for the deaths from COVID is China's President Xi, Wuhan Institute of Virology, and their ability to just let it unleash on the world. They're the only ones responsible, the Chinese government.
Right, yeah. And of course, as we recall, Joe Biden said when the U.S. hit, I believe, 200,000 or 300,000 deaths, that anyone who loses that many Americans on their watch is unfit to be president. And we're...
Well, yeah, so the other thing is, if you're going to be counting, you got to make sure your math is right. Because looking at
we'll admit math is hard. Yeah. Math is hard.
Well, for him it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because honestly, because looking at I actually went and crunched the numbers. So when he made this statement at on Christmas Eve, Trump had about where's my number? So according to the Washington Post, Trump had a little over 402,000 COVID deaths. And at the time that Sanchez made his number, Biden had 409,000, almost 410,000. So, yeah. And I tried to do him a little bit of a favor and say, oh, what he might have meant was when Candace Owens was making her assumptions.
No.
Or made her comments. And even then, Biden had almost 406,000. So
I'm just shaking my head here, guys.
Exactly. And then with that last one, I put the numbers greatly in Sanchez's favor. So because I was using the Christmas Day daily average of deaths, and over those few days between when Candace made her comments and Christmas, the death rate has actually increased. So I was actually using a larger total to do the math. And even with that in his favor, he is just wrong.
Yeah, yeah, he's just wrong.
As a Jets fan, I should say this is another Sanchez butt fumble.
Oh no, oh no. So with that, we only have a couple of minutes left here, but we do want to hit Nicole Hannah-Jones. We have to see it just in case you haven't seen it. We'll play it right here. Here's what she had to say on Meet the Press about parents having a role in the education system.
I don't really understand this idea that parents should decide what's being taught. I'm not a professional educator. I don't have a degree in social studies or science. We send our children to school because we want them to be taught by people who have an expertise in the subject area. And that is not my job. When the governor or the candidate said that he didn't think parents should be deciding what's being taught in school, he was panned for that. But that's just the fact. This is why we send our children to school and don't homeschool, because these are the professional educators who have the expertise to teach social studies, to teach history, to teach science, to teach literature. And I think we should leave that to the educators. Yes, we should have some say. But school is not about simply confirming our worldview. Schools should teach us to question. They should teach us how to think, not what to think.
Wow. So she just told Terry McAuliffe to hold my beer as I attack Virginia parents.
Right. I people everywhere yesterday were tweeting and saying privately, Nicole Hannah Jones for DNC chair, please put her on TV more. Please make this your campaign platform for 2022. Please do it. And yeah, I mean, granted, I think that's a humorous take for what is a really scary take, that people like her believe that you really shouldn't have a role in education. I mean, it's a question, real question. If you asked her, I'm not sure how she would answer, but she might give you an interesting one. Were the Band of Brothers racists? Were they on the side of the good guys? You never know what she would say. But yeah, Nicole Hannah Jones, for as much of a joke she is and as false as she's been in her entire career, 1619 Project being riddled with lies, even liberal historians, Gordon Wood is one example, or lean left, have said that her project or propaganda network, I guess, because it's grown beyond just an essay, is false and it's dangerous and it's divisive. So, you know, I enjoy the humorous takes on that. But as our Kevin Tober wrote yesterday, that it was baffling. But then again, with Chuck Todd, you're going to sit back and really not do anything. Because as you know, Nick, he's brought on Antifa expert. Yes. Antifa expert multiple times. Very fascinating. And he just kind of lets him go and say whatever he wants to say. But, you know, Ron Johnson or whomever goes on to call out media bias, he loses his mind about calling it a phony argument.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he doesn't disclose to his viewers that he rents houses to Democratic senators like Amy Klobuchar.
Right, right, exactly. Townhouses. And then there's the whole situation about his wife, but, you know.
Yes.
That makes him very mad. So that is it for just this abbreviated edition of the Newsbusters podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday, either Nick or a special guest maybe. I might be here, who knows? If not, Tim might be back. But either way, we'll have another edition for you to close out 2021 before we head into 2022. So as Tim likes to say, visit Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.